listening to the Smoke and Soul Project, and just like that, it's week six. With only 2 weeks to go, Dave Carr and the girls are on the home stretch. This week, Dave's cooking in Brisbane and Maryborough, Queensland. He comes across a food service unlike anything else on the trip so far, and another that confronts him with the stark realities of people living on the streets. Thanks to the Smoke and Soul sponsors, Phantom Screens, Charcoal Kings, Lane's Barbecue, Just Tinted, and Ampol Australia with their Ampol Cash Fuel Card. I'm Wallace Long. Dave joins me after this short break. Dave, you're in Brisbane today.
Yeah, mate. Really excited to head up here. Not far for us on the road. Arrived here, we are partnering with a fantastic organisation called MICA Projects. They're an organisation that offers a vast range of services. You know, they put people in housing and help them with a heap of other things, and they also do a food service also, which we were really excited to be a part of. So yeah, we were doing a food service there on Tuesday, and they told us that we would have to cater for around 50 to 60 people, which is, I mean, we've been serving over 100, so up in some of the stops that we've been in, so 50 to 60, I took this as a massive opportunity to cook one of my favourite things I love to cook, which is ribs. I love ribs. Anyone that comes to my annual barbecue at our house would know that I really enjoy serving ribs. So I took this opportunity, given that it was a slightly smaller service, to do some really nice ribs, and I would accompany that with a really fresh pasta salad, some slaw, which we've done a few times now, and some barbecue chicken. Arrived at service, first thing off the bat, first thing that I saw is just the way they set this hall up. They've got a kitchen there, but they also have a hall that they set up, and they really, the staff there go to so much effort to set this hall up, you know, like they were, like the clients were eating out. They were going to eat out. There was you know, full table service, cutlery, flowers on the table, tablecloths. They really went all out to make their food service like a special occasion. That was the first thing that sort of really hit home, is just the effort that the staff put into really setting up their hall, into making it like as I said, like they were going out to eat. You know, something that this also, you know, helped with was the, you know, the clients who came, you know, this was not only just somewhere to go and eat, you know, this was a social outing for them. It was a really good coming together sort of feel. It was an opportunity for people just to come and sit and eat and speak and socialize and have just good conversation. It's probably something that they wouldn't have an opportunity to have outside of that service. So again, you know, it just sort of goes to show, you know, and it goes along with the theme that this is bigger than just us just showing up and serving food. You know, it's giving people a chance to catch up, socialize. It gives them an outing. Yeah, so those were the sort of the first things that really hit home hard going into this service. I guess the other thing as well was, you know, this was a big service for us, you know, in terms of the journey. You know, going into this service in Brisbane, up to this point we had served 927 meals, and this was a huge opportunity for the, you know, the journey for the project to surpass that 1,000 meal milestone. I was really excited to, even though we were catering for only 50 to 60, which would leave us just a bit under 1,000, I was really keen to try and get as many meals out as I can and feed as many people as possible. So MICA Projects, you know, did a fantastic job with attempting to get as many people there as possible.
Dave, I understand there was a special birthday.
So there was a lady who was, you know, who was there. It just happened to be her birthday on the day that we were there. So she felt awesome that we were there cooking a feed for her on her birthday. The staff were really friendly and they let her take the flowers home off the table, so which was nice. And so, you know, they've got a really good set of regular clients, and so you know, that they all know them by their first name, and you know, there's really good personalized service, you know, which is something, you know, that we've seen along the way throughout all the stops.
You're week six in. How did you reflect on reaching that milestone of serving 1,000 meals to people in need?
I wasn't sure if we had actually reached it, because we were at 927 going into this service, and we served 65 meals on that service, which puts us just a little bit still under 1,000. But they did package up a further 10 meals for a future serve. So I guess we can put it down as 75 meals served, which puts us slightly over the 1,000. But, you know, in answer to your question, how do I feel about it? Look, I guess, I mean, obviously, you know, it's, you know, it's awesome, but I this was never about, like, about milestones. This was just simply about feeding as many people as we possibly can. You know, it's extremely sort of satisfying, I suppose, to see that number up there. But, you know, for me, this was always about just as many people as we possibly can, whether that be, you know, 500, 600. If it's 1,000, that's excellent. But it was never about the milestone. Our aim is to just feed as many people as we possibly can, you know, over this journey. So I guess a really good piece of positive feedback that I had was one of the staff came and saw me out the back, and she showed me one of the plates that she had picked up off the table, and she said, and she held it up, and she said, "This is all but been licked clean." You know, she said the person that had finished their meal had used their fork to get every single bit of barbecue sauce off the plate. So, you know, to see that and to hear the feedback of you know, how much everyone loved the food is, you know, is always nice to hear.
After the break, I catch up with Silvio from Charcoal Kings in this week's Sponsor Spotlight. Silvio, what got you interested in the Smoke and Soul project?
Two triggers, really. Homelessness and children are two things that we really like to support, and they're close to my heart. I've known Dave since 2023, when he first approached us in regards to cooking for the homeless. So when he came up with this Smoke and Soul project, it was a no-brainer for us.
Silvio, can you tell me about Charcoal Kings and what you do exactly?
Charcoal Kings was originally a charcoal supplier only. Now I've sort of grown and sort of transformed that business into more of a barbecue company. We do charcoal, we also import grills. We also now have started to import exclusively rubs and sauces from the US and started to distribute those nationally. We've got representation in every state. We export to New Zealand, we export to parts of the US, and we've expanded into importing from Indonesia, South America. We also manufacture Australian charcoal here in New South Wales, and we're about to start importing some charcoal from Vietnam. So we're a multi-brand company. We can go into a food service situation and basically provide the right tools for the right job. Every chef has their preferences. We can provide a range to hone in on exactly what they want to achieve in their kitchen. So that's what makes us a little bit different from the rest of the barbecue companies in Australia.
Silvio, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dave, now I think there's a common theme that you're hearing in Brisbane relating to the Olympic Games.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, when, you know, it's announced and it's on the news that a city is hosting the Olympics, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is the positive impact that that has on a, you know, on a, you know, like on a region. I don't think anyone ever thinks about the Olympics being a negative thing. But yes, some of the feedback we had of what's happening up here is basically ever since the Olympics, you know, was announced as a host, and it's, and as it's not for, as we all know, it's not for for ages away. It's not until 2032, but the impact that it's already having, you know, housing prices have gone up, rentals have gone up. You know, people were telling me rentals have gone up about, you know, over 200 a week, you know, which means people can't afford rent, and their only option is to move out. But the thing is that they can't afford to get in, you know, elsewhere. So, you know, as cost of living, particularly in Brisbane, because of the Olympics, is going up, you know, with that, homelessness is going up and people just can't afford to live there. You know, that was a sad reality of, you know, hosting the Olympics, which I guess is something we don't think about. Yeah, we only sort of think about the positive effects that, you know, hosting a huge event has, but yeah, there are negative effects also.
After the break, we're going to hear from Melissa from Mica Projects. I'm joined by Melissa from Mica Projects to hear about their work in Brisbane. Melissa, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thanks so much, Wallace.
Melissa, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Brisbane?
Mica Projects has existed for over 30 years now, working with those in our communities here in Brisbane who experience the greatest need, and we work with them to give them justice, housing, access to healthcare, and everything that they need to live their lives.
Dave and Cara were with you on Tuesday. What did them being there mean to your community?
It was just fantastic meeting Dave and Cara. The work that we do can sometimes be really challenging. It's incredible, and it's a privilege to work with the people that we support. But it's always fantastic to meet other people who understand the need, to meet people with compassion and with a warm meal.
Dave described the service that you do as very different to the other food services. Can you describe that for us?
So every Tuesday, Mica Projects holds a community meal in Karilpa Hall that's just next door to our main office. It's an opportunity for people to come right across our programs and those who live within our local community to sit down, to receive a warm meal, to laugh, to play games, sometimes to even take part in some art activities and to truly belong within our community.
And I understand the volunteers do table service.
They do. So we're really grateful to our volunteers who support this really important activity. They work hard not only to help with preparation of the meal beforehand, but they deliver meals to the table. And of course, they stay around to help to tidy up and also chat to participants afterwards.
So it seems to be a very social experience for the participants.
Social inclusion has always been a really important part of how Mica Projects works with and supports our participants. As important as a roof over their heads, access to healthcare, support with safety are, so too is truly belonging to and being a part of someone's community.
Melissa, what are you seeing in 2026 that is different to, say, 2 years ago?
The difference between now and 2 years ago is that, unfortunately, as hard as we have tried, we haven't been able to end homelessness. We know the conditions that are required. However, due to the increasing costs of living, rents continuing to become more and more unaffordable, incomes not continuing to match pace with the cost of housing, we are seeing more and more people experiencing homelessness, in particular families. Families have been increasing over the last few years as a proportion of people who we support, and it's really challenging and sometimes heartbreaking when you know, we don't have the resources necessary to always be able to provide somewhere for people to stay in a crisis.
If people are listening to this and they'd like to assist the work that you do in Brisbane, how can they help?
Mica projects wouldn't exist without all of our amazing volunteers. People can find out about opportunities by jumping onto our website and registering their interests. There's the opportunity to support at events like our community meals, also at our annual Christmas Amper Day, which is incredible, where many members of our communities get together to pack and deliver hampers to individuals and families right across Brisbane. There's more opportunities than that. Reach out, let us know how you'd like to help, and we'd love to get in touch. Our website is www.micaprojects.org.au.
And that's M-I-C-A-H Projects.
That's correct.
Melissa, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Dave, you've arrived in Maryborough and you're partnering with St Paul's Anglican Church.
Yes. Firstly, amazing, nice, warm, sunny, 25 to 26. I've got shirt on, shorts on. Really good sunny weather up here. Loved it. Yeah, so partnered with St Paul's Anglican Church. It's the only church that we've partnered with on this journey. They were really excited about having us. You know, had some flyers and posters up. You know, in the lead up. This was a 5 p.m. service, which I was really excited about because as you all know, you know, I've had a few early ones, I've had a few lunches, and so 5 p.m. meant I could do low and slow, which I was excited about. I could get some food on early, cook a couple of briskets and get them on early and just let them smoke all day long, which was awesome. So, yeah, really looking forward to this service.
And how many people were you serving?
They said to me, you know, they usually get around 30 to 40. And I said, well, look, I'll cater for 50 because they, as I said, they had sort of put some posters up and flyers out and stuff. So I catered for 50, yeah, which, you know, was fairly easy. So as I said before, I was doing low and slow. So I put a couple of briskets on the smoker and we accompanied that with a potato bake. So we did a potato bake back in Adelaide. We haven't done a potato bake yet, so I thought this might be a perfect opportunity to serve that one up again. And then, you know, the feedback we've had from our slaws has been excellent. So we did a coleslaw as well. So, yeah, so 50 people that we were anticipating. It was a bit of a slower service than what we've had in the past. You know, we only had a few people in sort of at the start, and then it sort of got a bit busier near the end. We only had about 30 people actually head on in, and you know, which is okay. And then, you know, we were speaking to the four or five staff that they had helping us, and they sort of were explaining to us that, you know, the sad reality of it is that people are very reluctant to come in for food service because they're just a bit scared to leave, you know, all their things, you know, which I can understand. And so we were really fortunate that we had a couple of volunteers that are very well educated in where the homeless people sort of are, and they packaged up about 10 to 20 meals that they sort of went out and you know, handed them out. So I guess from that side of things, you know, obviously I, you know, would love to see the people that I serve, but at the end of the day, as long as the food gets to where it has to, you know, that's the most important thing. And I was really fortunate that, you know, as I said, we had a couple of volunteers who had an understanding of where people in need are, and they were able to head out there and actually hand them food.
After the break, I catch up with Cheryl from St Paul's Anglican Church in Maryborough. I'm joined by Cheryl from St Paul's Anglican Church in Maryborough. Cheryl, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thank you, Wallace.
Cheryl, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need?
Our parish is widely known in the community as a inner city church and our mission is to take care of those in need, and we have been doing this for many years.
In what way do you provide services? Obviously, you do a food service.
We do. We do a community meal. We have an evening meal of a Monday evening every week, and we also do a breakfast on a Tuesday morning every week. We also have our opportunity shop, and we keep the prices low in there and give away anything people need, clothing, shoes, household items, all sorts of things, whatever they need, we help them with. We have a parish pantry where we give away shelf items, as in Weet-Bix or Long Life Milk, those sorts of things. We also supply food vouchers for a little business called the Food Basket, where they are a low-cost shop that's only for people in need. And this way they can buy fresh food as well.
Dave and Cara were with you on Friday. What did them being there mean to your community?
Oh, it was a wonderful opportunity for our people that come into the meal to be able to have another meal that week and something really quite different and lovely. They absolutely enjoyed it. They all were saying how absolutely beautiful the meal was because it was all lovely and fresh. Not that the food we serve isn't fresh, but it is probably a similar thing that they have most weeks, as in a soup or a casserole, some sandwiches, that sort of thing. So this was just something a little bit different for them, and they really enjoyed it. We were all just very grateful of the generosity of this little family travelling around, doing such a wonderful job in areas where people are so desperately in need of a little bit extra. And everybody was just touched by what Dave and Cara and the family are doing.
What are you seeing in 2026 that is different to, say, 2 years ago?
We do see an increase in people reaching out and asking for help. It's not just the homeless. We also have families that are just doing it so tough. Their money's just not going far enough. And so we have them coming in and asking if we can give them a bit of help, which we do as much as we can. We also seem to have now the people living on the streets. We seem to have two types of demographic. We have those that are genuinely homeless and don't have very much to be able to get a house or rental or anything. But then we have those that are choosing this way of life because then they can use their benefit to support their drug habits. And so we've got a different type of person, and some of these drug addicted people are causing a lot of fear and even violence in our community. So that's something a bit different to what we had experienced a couple of years ago.
If people are listening to this and would like to reach out and assist you, how can people help you?
We run on donations. For the food in the meals, we require monetary donations if people can share a spare a few dollars. Or our op shop is always very welcoming of any items people don't require anymore. If they're cleaning out their cupboards, then we would gladly receive them. And if they can't get them to us, they can always contact through our messenger, and I keep an eye on that and offer to people to collect it from them. In addition to those things, we also accept any shelf-like foods, tins of soup or beans, something along those lines.
And how can people get in contact with you?
They can reach us through our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page and we have Messenger, so I'm actively keeping an eye on that so they can reach out that way. Or they can ring our office number, and if it's got a message service, so if we're not answering at the time, they can leave a message, we'll call them back.
And what's the Facebook page called, Cheryl?
Maryborough, yep. Anglican Parish, Queensland, QLD.
We'll pop that in the show notes. Cheryl, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Week six done, Maryborough and also Brisbane, fantastic effort. And now you're off to Toowoomba, but I must acknowledge the fact that it's probably been a really good pitmaster week for you, having been able to deliver your favourite ribs and also a low and slow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really good week. You know, firstly, you know, to tick over, you know, the milestone of 1,000 meals, but also, I mean, I love serving ribs and I love cooking low and slow. So to serve, you know, ribs and brisket, you know, that's what Texas style barbecue is all about. So really happy to be serving up the food I have.
Beautiful. So week seven, Toowoomba, and you're going to finally get to do the Tamworth service, which was postponed because of the card problems that you had in Dubbo.
Yeah, so obviously really excited about this services ahead, but you know, also you know, not only have we reached the milestone of 1,000 meals, but we've also reached our highest point in the journey, and it is now time for us to turn around and head home. Yeah, looking forward to the final four barbecues that we have.
Tamworth will be looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually worked out well because Tamworth have got a few events on in that week that we happen to be there. So it's actually worked out really well that we happen to postpone it. I believe it's Homeless Awareness Week there, which there are several events, several services that are coming together to, you know, help, you know, those in need in Tamworth. So they are super excited, you know, to have us. And I'm also just extremely thankful that they were happy to postpone that event. And, you know, we're happy to have it on the Friday the 31st. So, yeah, really excited to head there and meet everyone there.
Well, Dave, safe travels, and we'll look forward to catching up next week.
Thanks a lot.
A very different week for Dave and his family. Thanks to Melissa from the Mica Project in Brisbane and Cheryl from St Paul's Anglican Church in Maryborough for sharing the work they do in their communities. And thank you for listening and following Dave and Cara's Smoke and Soul project. Please follow and share the podcast with your family, colleagues and friends. Dave and Cara are off to Toowoomba and Tamworth next. Looking forward to your company next week on the Smoke and Soul Project. I'm Wallace Long. Thanks for listening.